The Yipka Follies, written by Tom Kilpatrick, narrated by James R. Von Felt. Of course, my excuse is that I wasn't expecting to spend an hour outside in full view of the neighborhood. Now, normally this wouldn't be a problem, but this day I happened to be wearing my Yipka. By the way, Yipka is one of those wonderful Yiddish words referring to a garment no lady with an ounce of decency would be seen in, and not even then outside the confines of her private living quarters. Oh, what exactly is a Yipka? Well, mine happens to be a sort of shorty kimono I put together from scraps many years ago. It started life as a skimpy, thin, sleazy sort of thing I wore when I was the only one schlepping around the house. It went downhill from there. Some spots had worn so thin you could see everything underneath. Especially, it turns out, when it's worn outside on a sunny day. Oh well, so the neighbor's day got off to a good start, especially the dirty old man next door. Why, you ask, would I be wearing my Yipka outside in the first place? Well, thereby hangs a tale, and I want you to note the spelling of that word. I am definitely not referring to its homonym, especially with reference to a certain part of the anatomy. I had just spent an hour on hold, and I wasn't about to hang up so I could get properly dressed. But I digress. Have you ever had the misfortune to find, after moving into a new home, that you have no telephone service? Now, that really shouldn't be a problem, should it? You just call up the phone company and tell them to connect your service. Wait a minute. Did I say call up the phone company? How? Oh, I know. You take your trusty cell phone and make the call. Then you wait on hold for the next hour with the miserable gadget stuffed in your ear. This scenario is one most folks can identify with. Not so? Well, as with the Yipka, it depends. Most of the time you pull up a comfortable chair in front of the TV and watch your favorite daytime TV show while listening to the phone company's excrutable on-hold music. In my case, there was one small problem. When the phone company's representative, Ken, finally came on the line, the first question out of his mouth was, "Is there a dial tone at the customer access box?" "Huh? What's that?" "Oh, there should be a gray box on the outside wall of the house, probably on the front closest to the street. So just find it, open it, and plug your instrument into the jack inside it." "But I'm inside. I don't know where this gray box is. Can you hang on a minute while I go outside and see if I can find it? And, oh, please, please don't put me back on hold." He promised me he would hang on. So I went out to the front porch, the one in full view of the neighborhood, of course, and started scouting around. Guess what? I had the good fortune to live in a house with not one, not two, but three gray boxes. This was not going well. I asked Ken for help. In a voice I found singularly annoying, filled with good cheer and optimism, he answered, "Just take your screwdriver and remove each of the lids. One of them must be the right one. You'll know when you plug your instrument in and hear the dial tone." So I scouted up a small screwdriver, dashed outside carrying my cell phone and my regular phone, and proceeding to start removing screws from the lids. By the way, is it really necessary to use four screws to hold a 4-inch square lid in place? Wouldn't one do it? Oh well. Anyway, lid number one finally came loose, and I only barked my knuckles once. I had carried my instrument outside, and with great expectations, I plugged it in. Nothing. Not even static. Well, I reported to Ken. I don't hear anything, Ken. Shouldn't I hear something? Oh, you must have opened the wrong box. Try another one. I'll wait. Now, I should mention that the instrument I was juggling in the crook of one arm was not the old-fashioned kind that just plugged into the telephone line and, as if by magic, started working. My instrument is one of the modern kind. Not only must it be plugged into the telephone company line, but also the power company's electrical power outlet. No problem. There was an outlet underneath the window adjacent to the gray boxes, so I would just remove the screen and plug the phone into it from outside. Piece of cake, right? That's when I found out the screen was not removable. So by frantically rummaging around the moving boxes, I managed to find an extension cord long enough that I could run it through the front door and supply the required nectar of the gods, courtesy of the electric company. This was turning into a real tour de force, juggling everything and still finding a hand free to turn the screwdriver. But somehow I managed. Lid number 2 fell off with a clatter onto the porch, I'm sure alerting the neighborhood to the skin show now playing on the new neighborhood lady's front porch. I plugged my instrument into the jack inside box 2. Again, nothing. Dead silence. Ken, I still don't hear anything. Can you hang on for a bit while I open the third box? A note of annoyance crept into his voice as he replied, I still have time to stay on the line for a little while longer. I don't have to hang up yet. Oh, thank you, thank you. I've already been on hold for an hour. I really don't want to go through that again. So, thank you, bless you. Clearly embarrassed, Ken replied, Oh, that really isn't necessary, just doing my job. Thus reassured, I began removing screws from lid number 3. Upon turning the first screw, I happened to hear a faint buzzing sound. It seemed to be emanating from inside the box. Oh dear, I thought, I hope I haven't broken something in there. But nothing untoward happened, so I continued removing screws. Number 2 came out with no further problem. Then number 3. The buzzing was now distinctly louder. Bravely, I carried on. Screw number 4 finally came loose, and the lid fell onto the porch with yet another loud clatter. It was at this point that the source of the buzzing became apparent. A nest of wasps had taken residence inside the otherwise unused box, and boy were they ticked off. A cloud of the angry critters swarmed out, surrounding me, especially my face. One found the most prominent point on my face, my nose, painted a bull's eye on it, and proceeded to deliver its load right on the tip. Yow! I could faintly hear Ken asking, What's happening there? Have you found the dial tone yet? My temper rising, I answered angrily, No, I haven't. Hold on. I have to get a swatter. I dropped everything, raced inside, secured the swatter, and raced back outside, determined to see the mission through to the bitter end. Swatting furiously, I plugged my instrument into the third phone jack, praying the third time would be the well-known charm. Nope. Again, nothing. Yow! That one caught me on the derriere right through the paper-thin fabric of the Yipka. I reported to Ken. I still don't hear anything. What can it be? I was near tears. Oh, that just means the phone company has a problem somewhere out there beyond your house. I screamed at him. You mean I've gone through this version of hell just to hear you tell me it was your fault all along? Ken, somehow sensing my frustration, tried to be helpful. I could hear the ecstatic smile in his voice as he said, If you'd like, I can give you an 800 number to schedule a service call to fix the problem. Summoning all my reserves of patience, I calmly replied, "Ken, you are indeed a paragon of helpfulness, so why don't you just do that?" He did, and I dutifully called the 800 number. You can probably guess what I heard. "Yep, we are currently experiencing a higher than normal number of calls. We estimate the average wait time to be approximately 90 minutes. You may hold or call back another time if preferred. We apologize for the delay. We value your business." Yadda, yadda, yadda. Furious, I determined that they owed me reimbursement for the 90 minutes I had already languished on hold in this fruitless endeavor. After all, it's the same company, isn't it? I called the cell phone customer service number, intent on asking, demanding for them to credit me 25 cents per minute for the time I had already wasted. Guess what? "Oh, I'm sorry. But you see, we're a separate business entity from our landline service. I don't believe there is any way we can modify your bill to reflect such a reimbursement." I didn't hear the rest of her statement, because that's when I threw my cell phone into the street.